Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. It is time to go ahead and get started. If you would, find a seat and grab a hymnal. Our first song this morning is number 23, There is Power in the Blood. Hymn number 23, There is Power in the Blood. We'll sing there right on the first.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. At this time, we'll open with a word of prayer, if you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we Thank you for this day to be able to gather together to sing praises in your name and learn from your word. I just pray, as always, that this service would be done with everything, with your honor and reverence in mind, that everything's done decently and in order. I also just want to pray for Pastor and his family as they are traveling today, that you would just keep your hand of protection on them. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for our next hymn, 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. 208, 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. 208, we'll sing there right on the first.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there the blood of the
If you do not have a bulletin and need or would like one, just raise your hand and Brother John will get those out to you. There are not really any updates that I am aware of. Of course, we have last week's Bible memory still there, Galatians 1:20. It is the week of the 25th. If you open it up, of course, top left are service times and soul winning times and the respective leaders there. We have the nursing home ministry. Brother John will be there today and next week, starting off June with a bang, I hear. So that will be exciting, fun times. Always fun to get to go out and preach to the nursing home. There's a good group of people, regulars, that are out there. It's good to see them and encourage them. We have our church stats. The upcoming events, of course, on the top right hand of the inside of your bulletin. I'm not aware of any changes, but one thing to note is that Durant Soul Winning Marathon is next week. So if you are planning on going to that or you want to make plans for that, just keep in mind that that May 31st has come up quicker on me than I thought it would. So just FYI is a good reminder there. Of course, all the rest of the events still as scheduled. Of course, there's a visitor card. If any visitors, which I don't think there are any today, but if we have any visitors, they can scan that, fill it out. And, of course, our prayer list on the back. Other than that, no other announcements that I'm aware of. So we'll go right to our third song for the morning. Our third song is going to be 259, Jesus Saves. 259, Jesus Saves. (clears throat) 259, Jesus Saves. We'll sing there right on the first.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Bear the news to every land, by the seas and cross the waves. Onwards is our Lord's command, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Walked it on the rolling tide, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back the ocean caves. First shall he
plates are being passed. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2.
Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou shalt judge, thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent heart treacherest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter in circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for this service. Thank you, Lord, for good church to come to. Brother Cam, with your spirit, Lord, help to edify and teach us from the Bible. Help us, Lord, to have tender hearts and be open with understanding minds to the message of Jesus. And we pray, amen.
Amen. I do have one announcement to make if you want to pencil this in. We have an update from Evangelist Furr. This is also going to be in the Signal group, but that Durant soul-winning time will be meeting at 923 North 4th Avenue. That address is in the Signal, and that's going to be a meetup time between 9 and 10 a.m. But just FYI, if you missed the message, Pastor just sent it, so that way you've got it. You kind of know where you are meeting up. We're here this morning in Romans chapter number 2, I want to take a look at a verse to get us started off. Romans chapter number 2, let me flip there myself. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. Romans chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, For there is no respect of persons with God. And as a starting thought, before we really get into the meat of the message, I want to lay a foundation for something, and that's something that I believe and hope that we all are aware of here, is that there's no such concept in the Bible of race. There's no concept of, well, the white race and the black race and whatever other race that you want to throw in. There's not a concept as far as, well, these people are more like this just because they're born a certain way, or, you know, they're more athletic or whatever. Now, of course, we have genetics. Genetics are absolutely real. We have culture. And I preached about a year and a half ago an entire sermon on this topic about color versus culture. There's no color of a person that they could ever be born that directs who they will become, period. It doesn't even exist. Okay, racism has no part in the Bible whatsoever, quite frankly, because the concept of race is never brought up a single time in the Bible. Even furthermore, not only is it not brought up, the Bible's teaching us here in Romans chapter 2 that every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. These are nations that God is looking at, which is beyond race. You have nationalities, and nations are a thing that exists in the Bible. Cultures of nations are things that exist in the Bible. God multiple times will tell in the Old Testament the children of Israel, hey, don't do like those heathen nations do. Don't do after the manner of their nation. So you could look at a nation and say, hey, I don't want to, you know, be like that. I don't want the U.S. to turn into an Indian culture where everyone's just cooking on the street. I don't know if you guys have seen those reels, but like I get them for some reason all the time where they're just like cooking with their hands. Yeah, I want to avoid that culture. That's weird and that's gross, but it's not like, oh, because they're born in India, they're just automatically going to do that and they can't be helped. This is this weird mixture, this weird racism, and the reason I'm even bringing this up is because this is becoming more and more prevalent. I think we're experiencing in the United States a very large pendulum shift, a swing back, if you will. Because for the last 10, 15, 20 years, it's been pushing a lot of inclusivity, which, look, inclusivity in and of itself is not bad. The bad inclusivity is when you want to include people that the Bible says should not be included. When you're trying to be inclusive to people that God says, hey, don't do like them, don't be inclusive to that, don't even pray for these people, unless it's like an imprecatory prayer, to bring in the sodomites, to bring in the pedophiles, to bring in even beyond that. What about churches being inclusive of things that are like 1 Corinthians 5? So all that is a foundation to say we've been in this like last 10, 15, 20 years. Of inclusive, love everybody, don't hate. And just like everything throughout history, it's cyclical. And the pendulum has started to swing back because people are getting tired of that. But here's what's happening. It's swinging back so hard that racism is making a comeback in 2025 very strong. And if you are not aware of this, it's probably because you don't have a social media presence. But the anonymity of the internet, or the ability for people to be anonymous online, will cause them to post just whatever is in their heart. And let me tell you, racism is making a huge, huge comeback. And that's why this sermon is connected, or that introduction is kind of connected to the message today. But Romans 2, every man that works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. God doesn't care about your race. God doesn't care about your nationality. When it comes to serving God, all God cares about is, are you worshiping him in truth, in spirit and in truth? Are you seeking after the Lord? Why? Verse 11 in Romans 2 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. You know, Jews and Gentiles both beget glory, honor, and peace for God if what? They work good. If they're working good after God. He's not favoring, in the New Testament, one group of people over another, vice versa. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. I really just want to hammer, by way of introduction, the fact that there is no such thing as race in the Bible. Because I feel like people need to hear this repeatedly today. Because there are so many people twisting the Bible to try to say, oh, well, the Bible's for genocide. I have literally heard that recently. The Bible is for purging out undesirable people. Like, yeah, if we're talking about Romans 1 people, sure. The Bible's for purging out those that legitimately cannot be redeemed. Because what God hath made crooked, no man can make straight, right? In multiple applications of man making straight, okay? No conversion therapy is going to help that. Yeah, sure. I'm for purging those people. I'm for God's laws on putting to death who God says to put to death. But what I'm not for is putting to death some culture that you just don't like, some color, actually, that you just don't like because they're different than us. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says this. Acts 17, verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27, that they, so who are we talking about? All nations, every person on the earth. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now, those two verses in Acts 17, I feel like are just a kill shot to any concept of racism or this nationalistic ideal that God is just based on arbitrary nationalism favoring one group of people over another. Now, here's who God does favor: people that are saved, people that are following his laws, people that love the Lord, people that in verse 27 it says might feel after him. They're searching after God. They're wanting to find him. Why? Because God, it says, he be not far from every one of us. So not only do we have in Acts 17, it's saying, hey, we're of one blood, all nations. There is no white blood, black blood, Indian blood, whatever. That we're one blood, all nations of men. And it says at the end of verse 27 that God is not far from every one of us. There is not a color or a nation of people that God is just inherently distant from, because God has arbitrarily decided to be distant from that. That's Calvinism, folks. Do you realize that that is just Calvin? Well, God's just choosing to be farther away from these people than he is the... No. He's choosing to be near every one of us, because it says he's not far from every one of us, but it's up to us to feel after him. It's up to any culture, any person, any nationality, any race, if you will, which doesn't even exist. No race, no nationality has a monopoly on God. So again, there's no race in the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You say, well, I know that the Bible doesn't say, and I've literally seen this comment, I'm going to paraphrase it, recently. Well, I know that there's no race in the Bible, but it's disingenuous to say that there aren't different groups of people that are just inherently one way or another. No, it is genuine to say that that's not true. God, it says in verse 27, he's not far from every one of us. You're not going to convince me that, like, oh, well, I'm just going to pick a random, oh, well, he was born white. That means he's just going to be automatically farther from God. Now, I was out soul winning with John yesterday, and I got a guy saved, a white guy. Let me just tell you something. In the U.S., that's probably only like my second white person I've had saved all year. So you want to start talking about race and superiority. Let me tell you who's not near God. If you want to start making these color lines that don't exist in the Bible, it's not white people in general, because I'm not getting them saved when I go out soul winning. You know, it's usually people that are like black people, Mexicans. You know why, though, that's true? Because there's not a difference between them. There's a cultural difference, sure, in maybe how they were raised and how they were brought up. And quite frankly, black people and people that are Hispanic are usually brought up in a home with a lot more reverence and respect on the things of God and the authority structure of the home, versus white people are kind of just like left to do whatever they want, I feel like, most of the time. Yeah, that will translate into someone's adulthood. But it's not that, oh, they just are this color. Like, bust out the color pigmentation and you're going to be exactly like this because this is your color. That's such a dumb, carnal mentality. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 says this, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So this is in the context of salvation. They're talking about saying like, oh, well, I was saved by Paul or Apollos. I was baptized by Paul. I was baptized by this person. Even in the spiritual context, the Bible's saying that's wrong. We should not be looking to like, oh, who got you saved? You know, oh, well, I'm going to be better because I was saved by so-and-so. You only got saved by this guy. Who baptized you? Oh, I got baptized by so-and-so. That's wrong. That's carnal in a spiritual context. Okay, now remove the spiritual aspect. It's like, what color were you born? Oh, well, you're born that color. Well, I'm this color. So I'm just inherently going to be better than you. I was born this nationality, so I'm going to be better than you. No. It's the same amount of carnality. Now, why is this important today? I don't think we have this problem in this church whatsoever, but here is something that is on the rise, is this trad culture. Who's heard of trad culture before? It's like everyone that's younger and every older person has not heard of it. It's also people that are on social media. So trad stands for traditional. Make sense? Traditional culture. Now look, I'm for traditional culture. This is making a huge comeback in social media. Now what is it? I just looked up in 2025, what is trad culture? And I just let Google define it. It says this: trad culture refers to the revival of conservative, often idealized views of gender roles and family structures, particularly those associated with the 1950s in the United States. That sounds awesome. It's like women should be wearing skirts and dresses. Women should be keepers at home. Men should be manly. Men should be working a job. I'm like, this sounds awesome. Who'd be against trad culture? Traditional culture sounds great. And that's what happens. It sounds awesome. You sign up to follow on X or whatever these people that are associated with trad. There's this type of person called a trad wife. I'm sure people have heard of it. I'm getting some nods and some blank stares. But here's the thing. There's this concept of a trad wife. So if you just Google, what is a trad wife? Okay, it says, a trad wife is a woman who believes in and practices traditional gender roles in marriages. Some may choose to take a homemaking role within their marriage, and others leave their careers to focus on meeting their family needs in the home. I mean, praise the Lord that this is coming back in 2025. That's awesome. Who's against this, right? It goes on to say the traditional housewife aesthetic has since spread throughout the internet, in part through social media, featuring women extolling the virtues of being a traditional wife. Praise the Lord. Again, this is why. Because this pendulum swing, whatever you want to call it. Because 10 years ago, there was no trad wife. 10 years ago, it was this lady just fell into the tackle box, and her hair is this height, and it's blue, and she's dressed up like goth or whatever. It's like, okay, that's a lot different than like, wow, she has no tattoos, she's like wearing skirts and dresses, she's not in some career in a pantsuit, Hillary Clinton style, she's like choosing to keep the home. Okay, cool, we've had this shift. What's bad about this shift? Well, here's the problem. Unfortunately, as great as trad culture sounds, all you have to do, it's always like follow the money. I'm sure you've heard that before. Just click on the post and scroll to the comments. That's all you have to do. Because there's this smoke screen of like trad culture, and then you click on it and scroll down and it's just all Catholics. So it's like, okay, this is tainted a little bit, but Catholics also believe the Trinity. So we're not going to throw out everything that the Catholic Church attaches to, right? Because in general, it's not saying that everything they like is wrong. But I just pulled up on X trad. I just typed in trad, T-R-A-D. Like, what is the social media presence of this trad culture today? So there's one I have called Trad Productions. And it's talking about, it's just a funny name. I'd say trad. How many times can I say trad in a sermon? It's like Trad Productions. It's got a ton of followers on X. I think it was like 1 point some odd. Million or something like that, at least a few hundred thousand. There's a bunch of these. I may have had a couple of them mixed up. So you just click on, oh, all these virtues, trad culture. Scroll down to literally yesterday, they're saying, and I have pictures of this in my sermon, says the only Roman institution still standing is the Catholic Church. From Caesar to the Pope, Rome still lives. And it's like a thread. So then this trad culture, which, look, those of us that are saved, we're not going to be confused or deceived by, like, the Catholic Church being great and where we want to go to church. But folks that are kind of riding this swing back on the pendulum, folks that do have a humble heart, a contrite heart, they're looking for something that's traditional, something that makes sense, something that is a light in this world. Unfortunately, this smokescreen of trad culture is really injecting these Catholic ideals into the social media feeds of people that are very young and impressionable. Hence by me asking, who knows what trad is? And it's a bunch of young people. They're like, yeah, I know. Look, it's young people generally that are on social media that are exposed to these things. I'm considering myself still young, okay? Sue me. Now, here's another one called The Culturist. Now, this one doesn't reference trad, but it is in these same circles, The Culturist. 1.6 million followers. This is a lot of people. 1.6 million. Now, The Culturist had reshared, they're like all the statues in Rome and Europe, and like they start talking about white culture as this traditional culture. It's like, well, okay, now we're breaching into the racism part. Oh, this white culture. This is all like a through line, okay? So I want you to stay with me this morning. How did race get to trad culture, get to Catholicism? Well, it's because there's this malevolent through line in social media today that people, the devil, is like, oh, let's give them an inch. Let's give them the tradition back, but we're going to get them with Catholicism. And then we're going to get them with what? Racism. They had shared, the culture has shared this thing. This is so dumb. I just have to bring this up. They were like, honeybees will not build honeycomb over holy images. And they just have these pictures of like bees, like beehives. And then they have like a picture of Mary. And like the bees won't build over Mary. I'm like, even they know it's demonic. Like that's what I'm thinking. This is like, what in the world? This is what's getting, and like millions of people are following this account. And they're like, praise God, Christ is king. The bees won't build honeycomb on Mary. I'm like, what? Like, but again, why? Because people are impressionable. And that traditionalism takes root, and then they're like, oh, this must be true. The Catholic Church must be right. I mean, the bees aren't building the honeycomb on it. And while that sounds really stupid to me and you, I'm just going to be honest. As a guy that used to be a teenager on the internet, hey, sometimes it's like, wow, the bees, bro. You got to trust the bees, bro. Sometimes there's a little bit of this going on with the bees, bro. The bees, bro, they're not building honeycombs on the... It's just like, this is crazy. So here's another, again, you're just scrolling through the comments. Okay, so it's like Catholicism. Trad Productions, repost. I made a video with an Adolf Hitler speech. Enjoy. Just tons of shares and likes. And this trad culture, this Catholicism culture, don't forget, is connected to what was connected with Catholicism. Oh, yeah, the Spanish Inquisition, who would just murder people that didn't believe like the Catholic Church. So now what we have today, through traditionalism, is the Catholic Church promoting racism and Adolf Hitler. And here's the crazy thing today, that if I had just started the sermon by saying this, you wouldn't have believed me, but I hope you're here now, is that Adolf Hitler is being idolized and worshipped in 2025. The pendulum swing is so hard that people do not have a problem literally admitting, I am a Nazi. I believe Nazi values. Now, here's the sermon title for you this morning so we can get into this, is Hitler Did Something Wrong. Hitler did something wrong. When I was in high school, so again, this is 15 years ago now, there was a joke. It was literally an ironic joke. And Brother Zach and I were talking about, this is kind of part of that pendulum swing. I can't ever get that right. The swing as well, is that for the last 10 years, people are like, you're a Nazi. Remember how everyone on the left is just like, you are a Nazi? Like, oh, you believe in literally anything? You're a Nazi. You're a Nazi. What happens is people go through this denial phase of like, no, I'm not. I'm not a Nazi. No, I'm not. You're crazy. To now, they're like so offended by the liberal. They want to offend the liberal so much that people are going, I am a Nazi. And it's just like, stop. Time out. We have swung too far. And what you think is like an own on the left. Ooh, we're owning those liberals. I'm a Nazi. You're wicked and you're not right with God. Hitler is not some person to be idolized. And segue this back into what I was saying. When I was in high school 15 years ago, there was an ironic joke where people would say Hitler did nothing wrong. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I've said this hundreds of times as a joke with my friends back in the day, because you knew, like, yeah, Hitler obviously did something wrong. But you would just say, oh, yeah, Hitler did nothing wrong. Oh, man, Hitler did nothing wrong. And now it's gone from a joke 10 or 15 years ago to, like, people are legitimately getting up and saying, Hitler did nothing wrong. I've heard this. Hitler was saved. Hitler was godly. Hitler was working after God's own handiwork. He was protecting God's handiwork. And I'm thinking, you guys are retarded. You guys have no idea what you're talking about. But this is hugely propped up today. And you can't see it in this image, but I have this and other images online. All these Catholics are sharing this because Hitler was very frequently seen with the Pope, with the clergy. Now look, he hated God. I believe Hitler is burning in hell right now. He was not saved. There's nothing to indicate he was saved at all in any way, shape, or form. And look, as I get into this, you're like, well, I think you're strawmanning. How would you know what Hitler believed? Oh, here, how about I've been reading Mein Kampf? How about I bought the book? How about I decided to look into what he actually believed This is the 1939 translation, too, the one that the Nazi Party endorses as being accurate to what they believe and what Hitler believes, because I'm not going to get up here and preach something and then have someone tell me online, you're strawmanning Hitler. You don't know what he believed. I read his book. I got his quotes. I got some quotes for you today from his book, actually. So come at me and tell me that I'm strawmanning Hitler when I read his book and I've read the Bible, and I'm going to show you that Hitler did something wrong. Hitler did nothing wrong. Yeah, that was a funny joke when I was in high school. But when people are getting up unironically and saying Hitler did nothing wrong, you need to be exposed with the Bible. Pastor Shelley recently was on an X Spaces, which is kind of like an open, it's like an online where you can get on and talk with people in like an open group chat, basically on voice. And he did one about Hitler and like the Nazi Party. And again, it's like the flat earth. The first time that got brought up, I thought like no one actually believes that. Like, this is so out to lunch. No one believes that the earth is flat. Like, right? Like, right? Somebody help me. Like, does anyone really believe this? Pastor Shelley's in this about Nazism. And literally, the people in this that are, like, super pro-Hitler were asking Pastor Shelley, name one thing Hitler did wrong. Hitler did nothing wrong. And they're saying, like, with their chest, unironically. And, of course, Pastor Shelley's like, let's just go through the list. And they're like, well, you misunderstand. That's not wrong. That's your opinion of what's wrong. The Bible's been translated a bunch of different times. We don't really know that that's wrong. It's like, okay. So now Hitler is just Jesus to these people because he did nothing wrong. And people are literally building up their life on Hitler. And look, I'm not talking about the Elon Musk, like my heart goes out to you. I'm talking, these are people that are like, Heil Hitler. I mean, like, these are literally the people that are online right now, unironically saying this. Hitler did nothing wrong. Hey, I'm here to tell you in this sermon this morning, Hitler did something wrong. Hitler did a lot of stuff wrong. But the good news is he'll have a lot of time to think about all that he did wrong because he's burning in hell right now. Hitler is burning in hell right now. Now, look, I have to say this because I know that clips are going to be out there of me 5 seconds ago going, Heil Hitler. So let me just say this. I'm against Nazism. I'm against racism in any form. But can't we think that racist jokes are funny sometime and not be racist? I mean, like, is that really that wild? It's funny to say, like, white people can't jump. Am I now racist against white people? I mean, like, good night, come on. But the problem is that young people frequently have a problem, and really just any impressionable, I'm not going to pick on the younger generation because I'm young, but impressionable people online kind of will buy into anything. Like, the simple believeth every word, even on Men's Preaching Night, I kind of brought up, consider the source, because people aren't doing that. And they'll take these jokes, like Hitler did nothing wrong, and then 10 years later, it's like, haha, not a joke. And you know what I'm seeing today that makes me terrified in these comments are like, the Crusades were right and they need to happen again. We need to purge the Jews, literally. And people are like, ha ha. Yeah, I thought it was ha ha too 10 years ago when I said Hitler did nothing wrong. And then like 10 years later, what's going to happen 10 years from now? When people are like actively going out thinking, oh yeah, purging the Jews? That's not a joke. We should really do that. It's like, what? This is crazy. Now, let me give you some quotes. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 7. You know, people want to get online and say, name one thing Hitler did wrong. What did Hitler do wrong? I'm just going to give you a list today. Let's go through some real quick. I gave you a lot of introduction. Let's get some rapid fire in here. Adolf Hitler believed in a one-race country dynamic. You're turning to Revelation chapter 7. Adolf Hitler believed in a one-race country dynamic. Here's a quote from Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. He says, of course, this is translated. I'm not going to say it in German, okay? He says, German Austria must be restored to the great German motherland, and not indeed on any grounds of economic calculation whatsoever. No, no. Even if the Union were a matter of economic indifference, and even if it were to be disadvantageous from the economic standpoint, still, it ought to take place. People of the same blood should be in the same Reich. Now, let me explain what he's saying, because, and here's the problem. I think that no one generally is going to read Mein Kampf. I think that these internet idiots are not actually reading this before they're like, Hitler did nothing wrong. I think they probably read like chapter one. And let me just be honest with you. You read chapter one, he makes 100% accurate observations of the world. He talks about the bourgeois class, like the rich class, how they're putting a lot of things in the media that are debasing the general populace, and I'm like, yeah, sounds like 2025. The rich people, Disney, put a bunch of fags in Disney shows, and then it like tries to debase the younger generation. Okay, he's right. He's like, this should not be happening. People should be working for a meal. They shouldn't be beggars. I mean, like, he's going through and just like, yeah, good observation, good observation. The problem is, if you stop reading at chapter 1, it's kind of like reading Matthew chapter 7's first two words, judge not. And then you just stop. And you're like, well, the Bible said judge not. We're never going to judge. No, no, no. You got to keep reading past chapter 1. Let me help you. You got to keep reading the whole book, okay, to get the fact that Hitler was a psychopath who made these crazy, like, jumps to conclusions. He talks about, and I've got quotes later, he talks about Jews just inbuilt, the fact that someone's born a Jew. That's a funny slip up, burn a Jew. Born a Jew means that they could never be rescued from their just intrinsic wickedness. This is a wicked person. Now, Adolf Hitler, this what he's saying is, hey, look, German Austria, it doesn't even matter if it was like a net neutral economically or if it was worse economically to group German Austria back into the motherland. It must be done. Why? Because people of the same blood should be in the same Reich. Reich would just be like government. When you heard about like the Third Reich, talking about, it really translates to realm. Reich is the German word for realm. But in realm, in that context, they're talking about like governance, the government. Okay, well, let's look at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter number 7. Look at verse 9. Revelation 7, 9. Let's see if God believes in a one race country dynamic. Revelation 7, 9 says this, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now, here's what's interesting. The Bible's congruent with itself. Spoiler alert, that even as it said in Romans 2, that God be not far from every one of us, that God's not a respecter of persons, that there's glory and honor to the Jew first and the Gentile. It's saying in Revelation 7, in the new heaven, that there are all these people from all nations. Hey, you know what that means? There's Jews in heaven that are saved. Now, this to us is just like, well, yeah, duh. They were God's chosen people in the Old Testament. They were literally called Jews and they believed on the Lord. We're not talking about the religion of Judaism today that rejects Jesus Christ. But to say that to a Nazi, they'd be like, nope, they're not in heaven. No, I don't believe that. Why? Because, well, Hitler said they could never be saved from their just intrinsic wickedness. That's funny because God says that every nation, every kindred, every people, every tongue is in heaven standing before the throne. And this is so funny because it's like that, like, what about the Sentinelese island people that have never heard of Jesus? That argument about like, oh, does God really send them to hell if they never believe? I don't know. I mean, like, this says all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. I think there are Sentinelese islanders in heaven that got saved, whether they like left the island or, I mean, somehow. Otherwise, the Bible's not true when it says this. But I believe that the Bible is true, that he's not far from every one of us. It literally says this. So this one country, one blood dynamic. Well, here's the secret, Hitler, as you're burning in hell. We're all of one blood in Christ Jesus. And you know what? Even though we're all in one blood in Christ Jesus, you know what would be the wrong idea? Is to have one country on earth right now. To have one world government. That's an interesting thought. Hitler believed that all people of one blood should share one government. The Bible says that we're all of one blood in Christ Jesus. So if we applied Hitler's logic and the Bible's logic at the same time, you would get like the one new world order. So you know what you have to do? Just throw out what Hitler said because he's wrong. Because he's not right. He's making observations that are generally true from a carnal standpoint, but bad applications on who should and who shouldn't. Also this, I'm against multiculturalism. And let me be specific on what I mean. The Bible teaches that we should have one culture. We should have a culture of the Bible toward God. We should be, I'm not saying like, I hate X type of food because I hate Indian food because it's from India. Indian food's okay. What I'm saying is I don't want the culture of like India where you're rubbing feces on yourself to worship your God, which is a real thing. Google that. I don't want that in America. I'm against multiculturalism. I don't want the culture of Mexico to set up a bunch of shrines to Mary. I don't want the culture of Brazil to have, you know, Cristo Redemptor or whatever, the giant statue of an effeminate-looking Jesus. I don't want these random cultures that are against the Bible. I'm against multiculturalism. We should have one culture based on the Bible. And if you have certain preferences or things you like within that, that's not really a cultural difference. We've gotten this weird idea of what culture even is today. Hitler believed in a one race, one blood country dynamic. The Bible teaches there's all nations before the throne. So, what's one thing Hitler did wrong? Well, he had this wrong policy. So there's one. Is one enough? Let's just keep going. How about this? Turn to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. Adolf Hitler, I'm going to blow your mind with this one, believed in racial superiority. And what's crazy is that I'm like joking about blowing your mind, but then I literally see people who are like, no, he didn't believe in racial superiority online. I'm like, have you heard of the Aryan race that he tried? I mean, like, what do you mean he didn't believe in racial superiority? It's just these people that have never read a book in their life. They've never looked into history in their life. They just think that they know something, and they get online and say it, which is scary in and of itself. But then you realize it's all those same impressionable people that believe that bees are not building honeycombs on Mary's face because it's holy also are going to believe, yeah, Hitler wasn't a racial superiority or supremacist, I mean. It's like, okay, bro. Here's a quote. You turn to James 2. Here's a quote from Adolf Hitler. What history taught us about the policy followed by the House of Habsburg was corroborated by our own everyday experiences. Okay, what are those experiences? In the North and in the South, the poison of foreign races was eating into the body of our people, and even Vienna was steadily becoming more and more a non-German city. I think when you start referring to people from another country as the poison of foreign races, it is not too far out for me to say, bro, you're racist. Bro, you have a racial superiority complex. Could you imagine if one moment, if any preacher in the new IFB got up and said, like, the poison of these foreign races, that would be news forever. And it would be wrong if someone said that. That's just not right. Why? Well, first of all, we looked at there's no race. There's no concept of race. Now, you could say the poison of foreign culture. Sure, but that's not where Hitler ever draws the line, is with culture. And he brings that up later. If I have time to get there, we'll get there. But he brings up, hey, it's not a culture problem. It's not a religious problem. It's literally their race that's the problem, is what Hitler says. I'm paraphrasing. So again, it's not that he's like, well, maybe you're misunderstanding what he meant. Maybe he said it one way, but he meant something different. No. This is just what he actually believes. I read the book. James 2, verse 9, says this. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If you look at anybody of any color, and by looking at their color, you make a determination about that person's holiness, you're not right with God. The Bible says ye commit sin. If you look at a black person and you're like, wow, they're if you take the Mormon approach of like, well, they're obviously black because they have more sins. One, that's a stupid doctrine. Two, you're not right with God. If you look at any other culture and just think, wow. Now look, I look at, when I go soul winning, black people, and you know what I think? They're probably more likely, probably more receptive to hear the gospel. Why though? Because I'm thinking, oh, they were probably brought up under a certain culture. Not because like, his skin is this color, he's definitely going to be this way. That's weird. That's wrong. But that's what Hitler believed and what he did. Not only did he believe in this racial superiority, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Adolf Hitler took this one step further, and while I don't believe the official numbers of the Holocaust, I do not believe there were 6 million Jews killed. I do not believe the math works out in any way, shape, or form for that to be true. I believe it's been horribly overinflated so that the Jews could get their nation state and they could get a lot of pandering from the world. Which is still true. I still believe that. But I'm not going to let the pendulum swing so hard this other direction and say just purge everyone that's ever been a Jew. Adolf Hitler believed in racial genocide of what he deemed inferior races. You're turning to Colossians 3. Here's Hitler for you. It says, even in those days, I already saw that there was a twofold method by which alone it would be possible to bring about an amelioration of these conditions. And for context, he's kind of referring to that previous quote where he's talking about, hey, there's this poison of foreign races coming in. It's eating away at the people. We want to ameliorate, which is just like to cure, to bring a veil to, or a relief to. So he's like, there's two methods where we can fix this. He says this, this method is, first, to create better fundamental conditions of social development by establishing a profound feeling for social responsibilities among the public. Now look, this is where you get into it and you're reading it and you're like, yeah, he's right. This first part of the quote is right. To make a better country, to have a better culture, we should have people that believe in the importance of like our social fundamentals, like working a job, having a full-time job, mothers teaching, raising their kids, fathers being invested in their families, raising their children, teaching. This is all good. So he's like, the first part, you're like, cool. And then people stop reading. But he says, second, to combine this feeling for social responsibilities with a ruthless determination to prune away all excrescences which are incapable of being improved. We've gone too far. We have swung too hard. Now, he goes on to say this, like, what is he talking about? Ruthlessly purging away people that are inferior just based on their genetics. He says this, just as nature concentrates its greatest attention not to the maintenance of what already exists, but on the selective breeding of offspring in order to carry on the species, so in human life also, it is less a matter of artificially improving the existing generation, which, owing to human characteristics, is impossible in 99 cases out of 100. Like, source? He's just saying, like, 99% of people will never improve for any reason. What? So it's not that. And more a matter of securing from the very start a better road for future development. He's talking about killing and purging people that do not match up with his ideal of basically a superior race. If you were an exception to some race, like you were some person that, oh, wow, you were this 1 out of 100 case that you improved. Here's what he would do. He'd let you live. His plan was to let you live, but sterilize you. Like, yeah, you can live, but we're going to sterilize you because we've got to secure from the start a better future. And only these races can go forward. And, like, you can stay alive because you're working a job and you're a good guy, but, I mean, you're black, so sterilized. You're a Jew, so sterilized. I mean, I think the Jews were just pretty much shot. I mean, he was just like, get rid of those. But then people to get online, he wasn't racist. He wasn't a superior. He didn't believe in genocide. I'm like, based on what? Did you read anything that he believed? And then he goes, well, that's the translation. They want him to look bad. I'm like, really? That's what you could say about the revisions. This is the 1939, the Third Reich from original sources. This book is endorsed by the Nazi Party. This is the one translation that the Nazi Party says, yes, we endorse that. That's what he teaches. This quote is from this book, verbatim. So I didn't mistranslate that. Or you're going to have to say that this is not endorsed by the Nazi Party. Good night. Colossians 3 is where you were. Look at verse 11. It says, Colossians 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, obviously, this is talking about when it says Christ is in all and is all. We're talking about people that are saved. But when someone is saved, they're no longer Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian. You know, when I think of barbarian, I almost think of like what Hitler probably would have been thinking about, people that like need to be purged. It's like dudes wearing like fur armor or something that look like He-Man with like a sword. That's what I think of barbarian. Maybe that owns to my like video game playing. But like I'm thinking like this guy versus like some like well put together or whatever. Look, it's saying if you're saved, there is not this delineation between people. Christ is all and in all.
Well, 99% of people can't be saved. 99% of people can't be better.
Well, okay, so we should just not even try and just kill them all. Boy, I'm really glad that God doesn't have that perspective. I'm really glad that God says, I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to extend my hand again. I'm going to wait. I'm going to reach out to you and let you make the decision rather than having Adolf Hitler make the decision for you on whether or not your genetics should or shouldn't keep going. And then people are like, I'm a Nazi.
Yeah, I'm a Nazi. I think it's the way forward.
You guys are idiots. Adolf Hitler, turn to Romans chapter 10. Kind of talking about, oh, they can't be saved. They can't. And when Hitler is saying that they can't be saved in this last quote, he's talking about that they're just like, it's like if I were to say, this is not what I believe. Okay, I have to preface this hard because I'm about to say something that people would find offensive. It's like if I said, like, no black father will ever raise his children. Like, that's what Hitler is basically saying. That's not true. We realize that that's not true. Can we understand that that's false? today. Now, could you find instances where this is true? Yeah. Could you find instances of any other color person also doing that? Also, yes. But Hitler would literally take like that view of like black people will never raise their children, so kill all the blacks. Jews will never be anything other than, he calls them smelly and odorous. He says that water was like a poison to them, which was obvious by looking and smelling them, that you would just tell that they've never seen water ever. I'm just like, wow, tell us how you really feel. And then people are going to get up online and say, he was right with God. He was saved. He was defending God's handiwork. Like, wow. Okay, well, that's stupid. Romans chapter number 10 is where I had you turn. Romans chapter number 10. Adolf Hitler, so he's saying they can't be saved from their like intrinsic who they are by what color they are. He also says this, Adolf Hitler says, but a Jew can never be rescued from his fixed notions. Never. Never be rescued. Well, that's interesting because Romans 10:12 in my Bible says this, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, do we believe this verse at Anchor Baptist Church or not? Or are we going to let people online, idiots, say, well, Jews could never be saved from their just fixed notions? Yeah, God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Hitler, there's no difference. How it blows my mind how this is making a comeback, but the reality is that this is infecting people mostly that are like unsaved. Sure, you can have like a simple person that's saved that might think Hitler was saved or whatever. But generally, this is unsaved people, young people on social media that are kind of getting infected with this. Anecdotally, I know my wife was a Nazi. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. What I was going to say is my wife, that's funny. That's a clip. My wife talked recently about how she's on social media and will find these like traditional channels too of people wearing like skirts and dresses and they're doing things around the home and it's like, oh, cool. And then she'll like follow them. And then it's like a couple of weeks later, they just like start dumping Mormonism. Like, was it Mormons that you said mostly? Or Catholics too, yeah. It's like Mormons and Catholics. But they like get you in on like, hey, skirts and dresses. Hey, modest swimwear. Hey, making sourdough bread. And then you're like, all right, cool. And then it's like, bees aren't building on Mary. And it's like, whoa, unfollow. I'm out, bro. What is going on? Because it's all ploy. This is the point, that they're going to get you on something that sounds good. It's like the first two chapters of Mein Kampf. It's like very intelligent, good observation. The bourgeois class is keeping down the lesser people. They are putting things in the media that debases folks. We should get back to like godly roots. Even though I think Hitler was an atheist, he kind of like plays this godly. Why? To get you. Oh, I'm following the handiwork of the Lord. I'm protecting the Lord's heritage. Kill all Jews. It's like unfollow. But unfortunately, the unfollow is not happening today. They're just like, he's protecting the Lord's heritage. He's of God. Kill all the Jews. It's like there has to be in your head at some point where you stop believing everything that you hear. The simple believeth every word. But the wise man looks well, or the prudent looketh well to his going. You need to look at where this is going. Good night. I'm going to have you turn to Job 38. I don't have a verse for this one because I don't think we need to turn to Genesis. Adolf Hitler did not believe in biblical creation. I don't think I need to prove to you guys this morning that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. I think we all get that. And it was literal days. The morning and the evening was the day. It was not, well, a day in the Greek could be 1,000 years or more. And this time of day was just the way that God could communicate it to a simpler people and that we wouldn't understand if he told us it was all these years. I'm like, you just told me it was years and I understood you. Could God not have translated it like that then too? If that, like that, first of all, just didn't make sense. Thanks a lot. That's a real teaching called like the gap theory, called like old earth creationism, where, well, that's different than young earth creationism. I don't want to get those misconstrued. But basically where they'll teach that a day in Genesis was actually hundreds of millions of years. No. It's 6 literal days, and the Bible's just like, the morning and the evening were the first day. How hard is that? Here's what Hitler says, though. He says, should the Jew, with the aid of his Marxist creed, triumph over the people of this world, his crown will be the funeral wreath of mankind, and this planet will once again follow its orbit through ether without any human life on its surface, as it did millions of years ago. So he's just saying, if Jews keep it up, all humans are going to die, and the planet's going to fly through space in the ether with no humans on it, just like it did millions of years ago. And then it's literally like in the next couple paragraphs, he's like, I'm defending the handiwork of the Lord. Like, no. You're appealing to people who don't know Bible. You're appealing to people who might buy into discounting what the Bible says to follow Hitler. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to discount every word this idiot, this psychopath, this unsaved devil said, because the Bible is true. Going through with millions of years in the ether with no human life. All right, bro. I had you turn to Job 38, I believe. If not, turn to Job 38. Here's this quote I've referenced a couple times. Adolf Hitler believed his actions were defending God's handiwork. This is literally what he believed. Here's his quote. He says, and so I believe today that my conduct is in accordance with the will of the Almighty Creator. In standing guard against the Jew, I am defending the handiwork of the Lord. That is a quote. Now, Job 38, look at verse 1. I love this because this is when the Lord answers Job out of the whirlwind, right? And he kind of has some hard questions for Job. So I kind of like to picture that this happened at some point in hell with Hitler, when he's going on this earth, Hitler saying, I'm defending the handiwork of the Lord. I'm defending against the Jew. I like to think that God had some of these same questions when he sent Hitler to hell. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. I could see God asking Hitler that. He was like, hey, where were you? Can you explain to me how that millions of years in the ether works? Because I said in the Bible that I created it in 6 days, but you're saying you're defending my handiwork. So I kind of just want to see, as you're burning, screaming in hell, can you defend that position to me? Can you tell me all these people that you deceive? Verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Like, hey, who measured the earth, Hitler? Sorry, you got to stop screaming for just a second. Can you answer that question real quick? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now, the reason I think that this is applicable is because what is the handiwork of the Lord? Well, first of all, everything that's created was created by God's hand. Right? Sure, you could say he spake it into existence. I believe that. I'm just saying, proverbially, you would say, like, his hand made the heavens and the earth. He built this. He created everything. So for Hitler to get up and say, to write in his book, I'm defending the handiwork of the Lord. It's just like, source, bro? Like, no, you were not defending the handiwork of the Lord. Everything that we've looked at today has been in, like, direct contradiction to what the Bible teaches. And yet, people are going to still get online and defend them. They're going to get online and say, Hitler did nothing wrong. No. Hitler did something wrong. And I think we've looked at a lot more than just something. I think we've looked at a lot of things that he did wrong. I really have one last point, and we'll close this morning. And again, I don't think that I have to convince you of this. I think we've built up to this pretty well. If this shocks you, please see me after the service. Adolf Hitler was a racist. Adolf Hitler was a racist. And we started off the sermon by proving what? There's not even any such thing as race in the Bible. But Adolf Hitler is so clearly a racist. This is what he says. He's talking about the Catholic Church, the Protestants, the Christian socialists. He's looking at, in 1939, when he's writing, well, it's actually a little bit before that, but when he's starting to write Mein Kampf, he's looking at the structure at the political field of the day, and he's kind of drawing some conclusions. And it's like, I think it's in chapter 4, he brings, volume 1, chapter 4. He's like, basically, hey, the Catholics, the Protestants, they should all just get along because they're wrong about the Jews. It's not a race or it's not a religion problem. It's a race problem. It's not that the Jews have the wrong religion. It's that they have the wrong race. And I don't have the exact quote where he says this next part in it, but he says in his book, and I can find it later, he says basically, like, to the Christian, the fix for the Jew is like God and a couple drops of baptism water, and then the Christian will just forgive them. And I'm like, well, first of all, that proves that you think that
baptism is by water drops, and you're wrong. And two, it sounds like you believe that baptism is part of salvation, and you're wrong. Hint the burning in hell. But like Hitler, what? Explain to me, what is wrong with a person that would come and say, hey, I'm in a wrong religion, I want to get right with the Lord, I'm going to change what I believe, and then for that religion to go, amen, and forgive them. But to Hitler, we didn't address the problem. Sterilize and kill them was literally his solution. He called it the final solution. Well, let me help you out. God had a final solution for Hitler, and it's an infinite burning. I don't have to break out a calculator for that oven. Like, we just know. Adolf Hitler was a racist. Here's a quote from him. The anti-Semitism of the Christian socialists was based on religious instead of racial principles. That's such a funny quote. He's saying like, yeah, you guys are anti-Semitic, but you're only anti-Semitic because you hate the religion of Judaism. I'm anti-Semitic because I hate the people. It's just like, you're wrong. Like, hello, did you miss every part of the Bible? Oh, yeah, you did because you're an atheist, because you hated the Bible. Because you talked about that the reason that Archduke Franz Ferdinand got killed in chapter 1 of Mein Kampf, he says it was the great goddess of justice that allowed Franz Ferdinand to be killed. And then I'm still going to have idiots come to me and tell me, I really think he was saved. I really think he believed the Bible. Oh, really? With the goddess of justice killing Franz Ferdinand to kick off World War II so that he could genocide the Jews? That's your basis on, like, the first chapter of his book. And you're going to be like, I think he was saved, bro. No, don't come at me with that. This is so stupid. Look, if you can be anti-Semitic based on religious principles, I'm anti-Semitic. Why? I hate the religion of Judaism. I hate the denial of Jesus Christ. I hate the fact that they don't believe the Old Testament. I hate the fact that they spit when they hear Jesus Christ's name. But I want them to be saved because there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Jew and the Gentile. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't want to go down this trad culture 2025 of like, oh, they got me with the sourdough. Oh, they got me. They didn't get me with the bees, but maybe they got somebody with the bees. And then now we're on like hate Jews just because they're Jews. And look, it's happening. This is ridiculous. Let me help you out. Hitler did something wrong. Here's what he did wrong. Everything that we mentioned. Here's what he did wrong. He was not godly. Here's what he did wrong. He was not a Christian. Here's what Hitler did wrong. He was not saved. Let me give you something that he is. He is burning in hell right now. That's what Hitler is. There is no salvation for the world in the teaching of Adolf Hitler. There's no salvation for the world in the Nazi Party. There's no salvation in the world with racism and anti-Semitism just based on the fact of them being a people. Now look, hate the religion. Hate Catholicism, don't hate the Catholic. Hate Judaism, don't hate the Jew. Now look, some false prophet rabbi, hate him. The Pope, hate him. The father at the Catholic Church, hate him. Why? Because they're convinced they're twofold more the child of hell, is what I'm trying to say. But like, you know, Billy Catholic down at the mat, whatever, that we knock on his door, and he's like, yeah, are you a Christian? No, I'm Catholic. Notice how that's happening a lot today. Are you a Christian? Nope, I'm a Catholic. Well, that's funny that Hitler talks so much negatively about Christian socialists, and then he's seen in all these pictures with the Catholic Church. It's funny that all these Catholics online are saying the Crusades need to start up again. Look, we're saving people from probably going down this weird route of wanting to kill Jews, literally. And it's like, how would we get there? 10 years ago, if I said they're going to be worshiping Hitler in 10 years, you'd be like, bro, are you okay? But then it happened because these jokes kind of turn into like, oh, okay. And then today, the jokes online, literally this morning, as I was like, let me just double check before I preach the sermon. They're like, the Crusades were good and they should happen again. On this like 1. Whatever million follower Twitter. And then all the comments are like, Christ is king, amen. I'm like, they're literally linking crusading and genociding people with just saying Christ is king, amen, let's kill people. Oh, but we're the ones that are going to get the stories about us for preaching Romans chapter 1. Yeah, funny how that works. Funny how that works, isn't it? The actual racists, the actual people that want to do genocide, the actual, this is so ridiculous. I could get mad about this all morning. I think you guys get my point. Look, traditionalism is not based on Hitler. Traditionalism is not based on Nazis, the Catholic Church, racism, or where bees build their stupid honeycomb. Traditionalism is based on the Bible. And we need to get back to the Bible for what we believe. And let me help you with what a Bible looks like. This is a Bible. So when you open it, it says the Holy Bible. This is the authorized King James Version. It's got like 66 books. Okay, let me help. This is not the Bible. I don't know who needs to hear this today. This isn't it. Two volumes, like 30 or 40 some odd chapters total, I think, between the two. This is not what the Bible looks like. When it starts talking about Jews can never be, okay, that's not the Bible. Because the Bible says, for whosoever. Don't allow, you know, Hitler talked about the poison of foreign races. Don't allow the poison of social media to turn your hearts away from the things of God. Hitler did something wrong, folks. I don't know if you needed to hear that this morning, but somebody did. Somebody out there. You needed to hear that Hitler's not saved. Okay, let's end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and I pray that this message would just be edifying to us, that we would take this, take your truth, and just throw out the junk of this world, that we would be careful with what we ingest through social media, and I pray that you would just protect our hearts, keep your hand of protection on us, and keep us and guide us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for our last song, number 50, Peace, Perfect Peace. Hymn number 50. Peace, perfect peace. We'll sing there starting right on the first.
Peace, perfect peace.
Are dismissed.